Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. Good to have you with us. CUTV News Radio is a service of the award-winning CUTV News. This is your host, Jim Masters. It is 1 p.m. Eastern here at the CUTV News studios, and it is Monday, January 29th, 2018, at the time of this broadcast. Now, all of our broadcasts are archived as well. We broadcast live globally, but we also archive all the shows. So that means that you can hear our broadcast on CUTVnews.com, as well as usually a lot of our guests upload the links to the shows on their websites and their social media as well. And also you can hear it on multimedia platforms like iTunes and on Stitcher. We thank you again for making us a part of your day. We wish you a wonderful week ahead, and today we've got a very special guest who's calling in from California today. His name is Dr. James Abshire, and the topic is really one that we all deal with, whether we deal with it, you know, head-on, or we sort of skate around it and then eventually come to terms with dealing with it, or we're dealing with it maybe right now with a family member or a friend. Dr. Abshire is a first-rate internal medicine doctor practicing at Mercy Medical Group for over 25 years, and he is the author of the thought-provoking book, Live, Love, and Let Go, A Doctor's Insightful Approach to Living and Dying. Now, a lot of people fear death, of course. We struggle with questions like, is it painful when we die? And, you know, is there an afterlife? Different things of that nature. What happens beyond? Well, Dr. Abshire was seeing patients struggle with life and death situations all the time. So he wrote this book to help people comprehend and ultimately embrace dealing with end-of-life issues. He addresses hospice care, pain, suffering, fear of death, while sharing his own personal experiences and insight. Dr. Abshire's own life experiences all really inspired him to write this book. Both his parents were hospice patients, so he experienced firsthand the tragedy of loss. And in 2004, a propane explosion set his arms, face, and head on fire and knocked out a disc in his neck, causing excruciating and debilitating pain. Then in 2010, he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and underwent chemotherapy, where he's now currently in remission and doing well, and we are so very, very happy to hear that. He says the book is a proactive approach to end-of-life issues, and the underlying theme prevalent in his book is attitude, focus, and perspective. Keeping that positive attitude, focusing on your faith, and viewing problems with a more positive perspective will help tremendously on how you deal with all life issues. It also helps with your mind, body, and spirit, as we know. You know, our body does respond to stress and depression and worry and fear a lot of times in a negative fight-or-flight approach, which can have negative results on our physical bodies as well. Dr. Abshire's book is faith-based because it's essential to have some sort of higher belief system. It's certainly changing and challenging, you know, sometimes to really make sense of anything. But he steadfastly believes you have to use your faith to survive tough times. And none of us, you know, gets out of this world without experiencing tough times. And you may be experiencing something right now, so this book and this conversation might be of a great resource and source of inspiration for you or a loved one at this present time. To talk about all of this and more, let's welcome Dr. James Abshire to CUTV News Radio for the very first time, hopefully not the last, live right now on our broadcast series. Dr. Abshire, thank you so very much for joining us here on the show today. Honor and a pleasure to have you here, and we welcome you.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's my great pleasure and honor to be here with you today.
So, fantastic book, and it's our pleasure to have you with us as well. The book is absolutely definitely a page-turner. We'll get into the book in just a second, but first, I'd love to learn more about the kind of medicine that you practice and some of the work that you do on a day-to-day basis, doctor. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I'm an internal medicine physician, and actually a lot of people don't know what that is, but it's basically adult medicine. So take care of just about everything, except I don't do little kids, I don't deliver babies, and I don't do surgery. So I see patients from really all walks of life, ages 18 to 102, about 50-50 men and women. I see all kinds of problems from, as little as the head cold to diabetes, blood pressure, heart problems, cancer, major pains, migraines, back pains, neck pains, chronic pain, GI problems, basically the gamut of, human problems. I've been doing this for over 25 years now, so I've estimated that I've got well over 100,000 patient visits over the years that I've seen. So
absolutely.
Lots of experience in different areas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of experience, absolutely, absolutely. And going back a little bit and setting the stage here, your book, Live, Love, and Let Go, A Doctor's Insightful Approach to Living and Dying. And it's amazing, we always hear so much information from all these other places and resources and people from different experiences. But to get it from a doctor's approach, from somebody who sees it in various levels, from the medical level, the scientific level, the emotional level, you really get the gamut, a complete well-rounded understanding and experience of the human condition and of living and dying. Tell us about how being a doctor adds to writing a book like this, gives maybe some extra wisdom, a little advantage and edge because of having this well-rounded experience, and how your profession even prompts you to write something like this and share this very vital information.
Right. Well, a key part of the book is if you can take a little bit of medical and practical knowledge and blend it together with a very strong positive attitude, and I think faith-based is important. But if you get a little bit of medical and practical knowledge kind of blend that in so that you get more of the big picture of everything, really, I think, can help with how you handle things. People fear the unknown, amongst other things. So I try to give people, I can't cover the gamut of medical problems, but if you take just a little bit of medical knowledge along with just a little practical reasoning, really will go a long ways towards helping people deal with their problems at that tough time of life.
Very important to have sort of the foundation, like you're saying, in that support system and being surrounded by a support system. And if it's faith, then absolutely it's a beautiful and wonderful thing to have. Doctor, why do you think people fear death? I think the two things that people fear the most in life, except for their tax bill in April, is death and, of course, public speaking. It is another big one for people, too. But what is it about, this is a loaded question. It's a big question. We could spend hours on the answer to this, and it's hard because each person is an individual to sort of summarize it because everybody has their own, they're coming from different experiences and different mindsets, different approaches. But overall, I guess, generically, what is it about the fear of death that really haunts people.
Right. Again, I think the main thing is the fear of the unknown. And it's a, you know, if you think about it, it's an aspect of life, you know, birth, death, and taxes, you know, the sure things in life. But it's the aspect in life that we, you know, we really avoid talking about as a society. You think about all the other, you know, various phases of life, you know, when kids are born, people, you know, talk about it. They throw parties, they have baby showers, you know, when kids are going to school, they talk about the various problems they have. They talk about their work relationships. They talk about weddings, how they're doing with their taxes, investments, and hobbies. But when the subject of death or dying comes up, people usually say something like, "I'm sorry to hear that," and then they try to the subject is, you know, as quickly
yeah.
as possible. You know, and as we're going,
right.
growing up and going to school, you know, our parents and adults teach us about everything else in life. But when, you know, it comes to that, it's kind of just, you know, brushed under the rug. And so it's an area that people really try to avoid. And I think breaking that fear down can really help people along. And the way I kind of like to think about it is when people fear death, they fear really one of three things. So they fear either the actual moment of death, or they fear, you know, possible pain and suffering in the time period before they die, or they fear the unknown of the afterlife. And if you kind of break that down and take them individually and address them individually, I think it can go a long way. You know, for instance, you know, when you're talking about the actual moment of death, I can tell people, you know, when they die, basically their heart stops, they pass out, and that's it. It's pain-free. We've got stories of people who've coded, their heart stops. You know, basically they get CPR and they're brought back to life, and they all come back reporting that the actual moment of death is just like passing out, getting general anesthesia, or even just falling asleep. It's, you know, it's just like that, pain-free. And, you know, the large bulk, I think, of your listeners don't realize it. And when you realize that, then there's really nothing to fear of that actual moment. When you talk about fear of pain and suffering in the time period of before you die, fear certainly is, you know, very reasonable. And again, I think, you know, three aspects of that, I think, would help people. First, you got to think that when many people die, there's actually very little time of pain and suffering. So, you know, the example of that would be something like sudden cardiac death, you know, massive heart attack, pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot that goes to the lung, a massive stroke, you know, a major infection or a major trauma. The second point there is that I'd be willing to bet that many or maybe even most of your listeners have already gone through pain and suffering in their life that's just as great or more than what a lot of people have before they die. So, again, examples of that would be, you know, major trauma, kidney stones, gallstones, intractable migraines, neck pains, back pains, and even childbirth is going to be tougher on people than the actual pain and suffering that most people have before they die. And then a third aspect there is if you look at it with a little different perspective, so we need to keep in mind that we have the advantage of modern medicine. And basically our ancestors went through all of the same medical problems that we do without modern medicine. If you think about it, we've got pain medicine, nausea medicine, medical equipment, procedures, medicines for just about everything. And our ancestors went through all of that same, all of those same problems with little or no help. So rather than that fearing that pain and suffering, if we take that attitude and just be grateful for what we have, it'll really help with that fear. So instead of looking at and experiencing fear, we're experiencing gratitude. And then finally, I think if people fear the unknown of the afterlife, I think here that the answer is to strengthen their faith. And if you can really strengthen your faith to the point that it approaches knowledge, then that fear will go away. So I think that's really the cure, the key to avoiding the fear of the afterlife, is to strengthen your faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And I've seen it in action, even in my own world, where people have dealt with losses. We all have, and we all will. It's part of the experience. But there is a comfort to it when it's approached in just the way that you are describing it. You've even experienced this with, as I mentioned in the introduction, with your own parents and your own family, and even coming close to your own death with the explosion and the things that you've gone through with pain and, you know, is this the end for me? I mean, you've been through tremendous things yourself. Did that
I've 2 years into writing this book, given my own terminal diagnosis of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So I've actually had somebody look me in the face and tell me you've got, you know, terminal cancer. So I have gone through all of that myself. And then when I was in that propane fire and explosion, when people come and talk to me about their pain, I can relate to that, been there, done that. And so I think that's, you know, really added to the book. 2 years into it, when I was, you know, I was, you know, writing it, and I was kind of, how am I going to write this book so that somebody who's got, you know, a major terminal problem can't come to me and say, well, Dr. Abshire, you know, it's easy for you to tell me how to think, but you haven't, walked in my shoes. So I actually prayed to God for the, try to help me out with that. And lo and behold, the following week I was diagnosed. So, initially you get that, you know, the pain and or the that fear reaction. But you know, turning that to, rather than fear, this is an opportunity for me to try and help others. And so, if you just take a little different attitude and perspective towards things, it really helps with how you deal and handle it.
And it's amazing, and we're hearing this and talking to our audience coming from a doctor who sees both sides of the experience and has lived it himself. And bless you, and very happy that the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you've been able to go sort of beyond that, get into that remission stage. And we had a cousin, 34 years old, who was an emergency room nurse in Connecticut, you know, with a daughter, married, the whole thing. And she wasn't as lucky at a young age of 34 with the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So, you know, and it's wonderful news that you're doing well and everything is okay for you. And again, the fact that you've lived through all of this and you want to share this with others to empower others, inspire others, give almost a sense of hope as we struggle through the daily things in life. You mentioned looking at death from sort of past and future perspective can be helpful too, and letting us see things more with that positive attitude. That is an essential ingredient, whether we're going through something or not, right? Our physical body responds to positivity and to negativity and fear and worry and stress and depression. So it only helps the body as well as it does the mind, the soul, and everything else to try to, as hard as it may be, to maintain a positive attitude and surround yourself with positivity. If you're surrounded by negative people and toxic and, you know, just negative influences, turn the news off every once in a while, you know, go outside, get some fresh air, walk along the beach, whatever it is, all are essentials, right? To clear your mind and refresh.
Yeah, no, definitely people who have a positive and optimistic approach to life definitely do much, much better. There was a study some years ago of they looked at Catholic nuns, a famous study called the Nun Study. I think it was Dr. Snowden at the University of Kentucky had done. So there was like over 700 nuns, and they had each written a journal or kind of their life biography back when they were 20, and they went and analyzed their biographies way, you know, year, you know, 50 years later down the road. And those who had a positive attitude and talked about happy things and hope and love and that sort of thing, on average, lived an additional 7 years longer than those who were more negative. So that is just, you know, being positive and optimistic is just huge. And I think our perspective on how we look at things can really help here. And I think that two perspectives that I'd like to talk about just a minute is that if you look at life from, you know, past perspective and future perspective, can really help out. And I think a lot of times we don't consider that. And I mentioned about, you know, how our ancestors didn't have modern medicine and, you know, their average life expectancy, you know, going back a few hundred or even a couple thousand years ago, they only lived to be age 30. You know, on average, and they, you know, they were used to seeing kids die and women dying in childbirth. And I think if we can go back and think about from their perspective, if you can, you know, fast forward them into our modern day society, they would just be amazed at all of the blessings that we have around us, including modern medicine and pain medicines and things like that. And I think if we can kind of put ourselves in their shoes and look at our current life and just be grateful for everything that we have around us, we'll go a long ways towards lifting us up in tough times. And then the other perspective I think that we don't think about is the future perspective. And that future perspective, in my mind, includes a heavenly perspective or an eternal perspective, if you will. And so I think if you look at things from an eternal perspective, so kind of put yourself to where you think you might be 50 or 100 years down the road, and think back to today, whatever problem that you're currently having, no matter how bad it is, 100 years down the road is going to be trivial in the big picture of eternity to uplift us in tough times.
That is so well said. If we do concentrate on the, you know, sort of backing off on the picayune, we'll have a bigger picture. Looking at the bigger picture and what it's all about, what it all means, and sort of really savoring what we have and the gifts we've been given and the people that are around us. And when you really stop and look at what you have and who you are and the things that you're surrounded by that are wonderful, then it gives you a whole different perspective than worrying about the tiny little picayune things and the things that the guy across the street has that you don't have. Or, I mean, there's so many different aspects to all of this. You know, we talked a little bit about the near-death experience type of thing, and can you share a story maybe about a near-death experience that sort of confirms what we're even talking about as far as why people should not fear death?
Yeah. Actually, I put a chapter in the book on near-death experiences, and I think near-death experiences are very important, and they're actually much more common than you might expect. You know, estimates are that actually one or two people out of every 300 have had a near-death experience. So odds are actually pretty good that you know someone who's had a near-death experience. And they tend not to talk about these experiences as they don't want other people to think that they're not crazy. If you talk with these people, you realize they're just normal people. They're not crazy. They're not psychotic. There was a case that I wrote about in the book that actually I had actually a personal response with. There was a Dutch cardiologist, Dr. Pim van Lommel, who had documented some near-death experiences, and there was a case of that an ICU nurse told that of a patient that came in and had coded and was getting CPR, and they were intubating the patient, and in the process of intubation, where they put a breathing tube in the mouth, they'd taken out his dentures, and she had put him away on the crash cart. Well, the patient survived, and a week later, he was in the the post-intensive care unit, and he saw her walking by, and he said, "There, that nurse there knows where my dentures are," and she was surprised, and he told her exactly where they were and described the crash cart, and so he had had this near-death experience. So the only way he could have known where his dentures were is as if he had some sort of out-of-body experience and saw what was going on from wherever they were, up above the operating table or wherever they were. So anyhow, I'd put that case in my book. One day a patient of mine came in, and he'd read my book, and he told me that actually the exact same story happened with his father being the patient, and the only difference really was that his father knew where his glasses had been put rather than his dentures, so these things are just amazing. And the patient who had these near-death experiences, they all report that they've lost that fear of death and that they do have a knowledge of a positive afterlife. And I think that's huge and can go a long ways towards lifting up the rest of us who haven't had these such experiences.
I want to let folks know, too, the book, which, again, I think should be on everybody's coffee table, very thought-provoking, Live, Love, and Let Go, A Doctor's Insightful Approach to Living and Dying, available on Amazon, but also available on your website as well. Can you give us the website address?
Yes, it's www.liveloveandletgo.com. And there's a link there to the Amazon. There's a link there that people can email me from. And I've got some blogs and things on there, too. So it might be worth for people to check that out.
So that's www.liveloveandletgo.com. And real quickly, okay. You're not making any profit off the book. All the proceeds are going to charity. That is a beautiful thing. Is there a certain message you hope people get from the book?
I think that message is positivity and, be an optimist. On a personal level, I think it's important to be positive at all times. Part of having a positive attitude is having a positive purpose to your life, which I talk about. And a positive purpose will help you persevere in tough times. Personally, for me, promoting this book provides a positive purpose to my life. And then the other thing about it is that by keeping a positive, proactive approach, to me, my faith helps me to do this. My faith serves me well. And so this is kind of my way of returning to my faith, trying to give back all that I've gotten from it.
Our very special guest, author and internist Dr. James Abshire. And again, the book is a tremendous thing to have in your life. Live, Love, and Let Go, A Doctor's Insightful Approach to Living and Dying. The website, www.liveloveandletgo.com. Dr. Abshire, thank you so very much for sharing your story, your personal story, and your inspiration with all of us here on the broadcast. We wish you continued success. And we hope to get a chance to chat with you again. Bless you for everything you're doing, and thanks for being with us again.
Thanks so much, Jim. It's been my great pleasure and honor to be here today.
Best of luck, and I'm hoping we chat again soon. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm Jim Masters, CUTV News Radio. Thank you for joining us as well. We
We wish you a terrific day. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.